All right, hi guys. Welcome back to another episode of Just a Girl from Cleveland, episode 56. I am recording this on Thursday, August 26th, which means it is almost September, which means football is just, it's right around the corner. And I feel like I've been saying for the last month or so that football is back, and I'm just wondering when we can actually classify it as officially back. Like, when is it fully back? How long can I say football is back before it's like actually there and I need to stop saying it? I've just been feeling that lately because I feel like every day I'm like, oh, football back. But like, how long can we go on saying that? But I am excited. I am a little bit ready for the weather to turn into that football weather and get rid of some of this 90 degree heat that we've been having. It's either 90 degrees, blazing sun, or torrential downpour thunderstorms. There's really not been an in-between this summer, so I could go for some, you know, 60 degree fall days where the air smells like football. Like, you can just tell that games are going to be played. It feels right. I had my first fall coffee drink of the year today. Apple Crisp Macchiato is the name, from Starbucks. I was just feeling in the fall spirit, so I'm in full swing now. Once you have that fall coffee flavor, pumpkin, apple, anything like that, it's officially fall. It's officially football. I'm pumped to be in this place now, even though it's always sad kind of when the summer comes to an end. Because I do like the fall, but then the winter comes around the corner, which is my least favorite thing in the world, being in Cleveland, the coldest place on the face of the earth, it feels like sometimes in the winter. But, you know, we're going to keep powering through and we're going to enjoy the moment we're in. We're going to enjoy the fall and the beautiful football we're about to watch. And pretty much everything I have to talk about today is football related. It is just, it's full swing all into it. Don't really want to talk about anything else. But before I get into all the topics I have lined up for today, please just go leave me a review or rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. I would really, really appreciate it. Always, like I said, always makes me feel good to see those pop up. So just take a minute and do that. But let's get into some football because it is here. I feel like I've been talking about mostly NFL and have kind of neglected to talk anything Ohio State football or college football, but I do want to just briefly touch on a few things with that before we go full speed into some NFL topics, because there's a lot to say. So Ohio State recently announced that CJ Stroud is officially going to be the starting quarterback for week one, which is not super surprising. I know we have Mullet Boy from Texas, who I forget what his name is right now, but he left high school early to head over to Ohio State. He wants to capitalize on making some money, so I respect it, but a little bit late in the game to take that starting job week one, so not surprising at all that CJ Stroud will be starting. It's kind of fun to have a little bit of a QB uncertainty with the Buckeyes this year, but at the same time, I'm not used to it because I feel like there's typically when you return a quarterback after a year, there's a little bit more certainty around it, but definitely not this year. I mean, even when we had Justin Fields, you at least knew that he could play when he was in Georgia. So there was, you know, some knowledge around what he was able to do. Whereas this is a little bit more unknown, but kind of exciting. And Ryan Day has done such a fantastic job, not only coaching this team, but recruiting, that I have full confidence that we are going to have a great year. The other big news in college football after the SEC has, you know, kind of made some massive changes, we now have the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12 forming some sort of alliance, which I'm not even going to get into it because they just use a bunch of fancy words to describe what the purpose of this is and, you know, all this stuff. But we all know it's really just to counter what the SEC is doing right now. And it's all about football. It's not about I feel like they always try to throw around some like academic stuff in it. Like, we're not stupid. We all know what this is about. This is about football. This is about what the SEC is doing. You're trying to counter it because you want to be able to stay strong as conferences and still be able to, you know, recruit high talent. And it's all about money at the end of the day is really what it comes down to. So I'm interested to see how this actually takes effect and what it really means. And I don't know, college football, the landscape is changing. It's changing fast, and some of it's really exciting, some of it's really unknown, but it's still, you know, Saturday football on these college campuses. I think no matter what happens, the spirit and the excitement of that is always going to stay. I really believe that, especially as someone who, I've said a million times, went to Ohio State. It is so a part of that city and that campus. Football Saturdays mean everything to people there, that it doesn't matter what, you know, is going on behind the scenes. If, you know, the players are making some money, if there's these alliances forming, if conferences are changing, that does not change the way that people in Columbus, Ohio feel on a Saturday when their team is playing. They will start tailgating at, you know, 5 a.m. no matter what, and they're going to be there ready to go. So I'm excited for college football to be back as well, especially after it felt like we got just a crummy season last year with the Big Ten. I think the Buckeyes only ended up playing, what, like 6 games, including the Big Ten Championship, which they kind of twisted those rules around to allow us to play in that game. We had only played 5 games, I believe, leading up to that. So it was a pretty brutal year, and it didn't feel the same. Even when Ohio State was in the national championship after beating Clemson, I mean, obviously we got rocked by Bama, but it just didn't feel the same as it had felt in other years. And I think, you know, the lack of games and being able to build a connection with that team and those guys probably had something to do with that. But like I said, looking forward to the year. All right. That's all I have to say about college football, because like I said, the bulk of just everything on my mind right now, and really everything on everyone's mind right now, is what is happening this NFL season. It's the rookie quarterbacks, it's COVID and the vaccinations and the issues that certain teams are having right now, dealing with that. It is the Browns and getting down to our 53-man roster and what that's going to look like. So I think I'm going to start off with talking about the rookie quarterbacks, because that has been just, I think, such a dominating conversation in football this year, more so than other years. And I think that's because you really had 5 guys in the first round who could potentially be decent starters going into week 1, depending on, you know, what team they landed with. A lot of times you might have maybe 2 guys everyone's really excited about and really looking forward to, and the rest of the rookie quarterbacks were maybe in later rounds, or just nobody really felt like they had a shot at starting or producing that early on in their career. Whereas this year, it's just an overwhelming amount of guys, and they've all had really bright moments in the preseason that has allowed those fan bases to fully get behind them and think that this guy is going to be their Lord and Savior. And I think I just want to remind everyone at this time that it's so fun to get excited about guys in the preseason, but the preseason does not mean anything at the end of the day. When the Browns went 0-16, we went undefeated in the preseason. So that's just, you have to think of that every time you want to get too excited about something happening in the preseason. Just remember that it doesn't mean anything, and you could still lose every single game in the regular season, and guys that looked like they could be potential future Hall of Famers could end up not even stepping on the field for an NFL football game ever. So like I said, keep that in mind, especially when we're looking at these rookie quarterbacks. But at the same time, it's very fun to speculate when you see, you know, these guys just light up the field for small moments in time. It makes you really see the future for them. I think that based on what I've seen so far, and this has a lot to do with the teams that they have landed on and what other quarterbacks they have on those teams, I believe that Zach Wilson and Trevor are going to be the only ones that start for their teams week one. That's kind of where my mind is at. The only one that I think maybe also could potentially start week one would be Mac Jones. And the reason for that, before I thought it was for sure going to be Cam, now we've started to deal with some vaccination issues with Cam. So apparently we have learned that he is unvaccinated, and whatever happened, that there was some type of miscommunication, I'm still not really sure what it was, if it was Cam's fault, if it was the team's fault, if it was the medical personnel's fault who was supposed to inform them of these protocols. Whatever it was, he broke that protocol, and he was going to have to miss a significant amount of time because he is an unvaccinated player. We also have recently seen a guy that I have talked about before on here, Cole Beasley, who I believe was unmasked in a situation, or no, he came into contact with a trainer who tested positive. Because he was a close contact, he is going to have to miss some time, and I believe there's also fines associated with these things for unvaccinated players. So obviously this has put, you know, another level of pressure on the situation for Cam specifically, because he is in a big quarterback battle right now with Mac Jones. And I mean, as Kevin Stefanski has said, being vaccinated is a competitive advantage, and we're seeing that play out in real time right now. We're seeing Mac Jones being able to work with, you know, all the first team guys and take the lead on things while Cam has to sit out. And that could be the difference between Bill Belichick making the decision on who to start for week one, if he feels maybe more confident after getting to see more out of Mac Jones that he wasn't going to be able to see had Cam still been around for these days here. I know it's gonna make a lot of people feel a lot of different ways about what's happening right now, but these are the protocols. Everyone's aware of them at this point. And obviously, it's caused some chatter now, but I'm more interested to see once we hit week one and these unvaccinated guys start missing some regular season games for it, if they maybe decide to change their mind. I mean, fans are going to be extremely disappointed if a guy has to miss, you know, a couple games or even one game. It could be an important game for their team, because I think we're going to see those things happen based on what we're seeing here all throughout training camp and this preseason time. We're going to see more of that going into the season. But like I said, this is an opportunity for Mac Jones to step up. So he's one of the other ones that I think could potentially start in week one, just depending on what way Bill Belichick decides to go. I think both Trey Lance and Justin Fields have also looked really great and had some really bright moments. In my mind, I think Justin Fields should start for the Bears, but they have been very adamant that Andy Dalton is going to be their starter for week one, which in some ways I can understand starting your more veteran player, because it's really hard to go back on your word once you start the rookie. Once you start the rookie, it's kind of awkward if he doesn't live up to expectations, and then you have to put in Andy Dalton in, you know, week five or something. It's a little bit weird, and it's not a great look. I think it's a lot better to start with Andy and, you know, see it probably not work out and then put Justin Fields in. I think it puts a little bit less pressure on your rookie to produce. The argument I don't agree with for not starting Justin Fields week one is everyone saying that he's going to get, you know, rocked by Aaron Donald. You have Myles Garrett in week three when you play the Browns. There's always going to be a guy, and you can't just like protect your quarterback forever. You can't avoid star players who are going to try to sack your quarterback forever. Like, that's just a part of being in the NFL. So I think that's a silly and weak argument that people are making on why Justin Fields shouldn't start week one. There's a lot of legitimate reasons, and that is not one of them, because if he's going to get hit, he's going to get hit. It doesn't matter when you decide to make that happen, there's always going to be a guy. And like I said, it's just a few weeks later, they have Myles Garrett, and that's not easier. And you've got Clowney now, too. Who knows how he's going to work out? But those guys are going to be hungry and ready for a rookie quarterback. So just waiting around is not the right move to make. I do think Trey Lance has looked really good. However, I think Jimmy G has also looked good. So I don't think it would be the right move for them to start their rookie for the same reason I just mentioned. It's really hard to go back and switch that around, and put Jimmy G in after the fact if Trey doesn't live up to it. I think it is better to try to put less pressure mentally on your rookie, because that will really affect them and probably affect the rest of the year and maybe even potentially their career. When the season is over, I think all of them will have played at some point. All five of these guys, they will be in. I think halfway through the season, you probably see all of them. I just think it'll just depend on how the Jimmy G's, the Andy Daltons, and the Cam Newtons of the world shake out. But I'm excited to see it. And it's been fun, like I said, to have this many young quarterbacks to be discussing that have the potential to be franchise quarterbacks. I can't remember the last time I've ever seen this many people that we have to talk about. The other quarterback situation that I just want to quickly mention that I find super interesting is Mitch Trubisky over in Buffalo now. He's looked really great, actually, in the preseason, and I'm super curious to see what he could maybe do if they ever, I mean, obviously they have Josh Allen, but if he ever is able to get some time in the regular season or maybe eventually get a trade to a team that he could start on. I think a lot of people are curious to see what he could do, and that maybe it was just the system he was in Chicago that wasn't allowing him to reach his full potential. I'd be really interested to see that after seeing him play as he has in the preseason. I think there could still be something there, and it's hard to be behind, obviously, a guy like Josh Allen who just signed a massive deal. Like, you aren't going to start in Buffalo, so I'd love to see him eventually get somewhere else and just see how that shakes out. But that's been another fun quarterback storyline. Okay, so first of all, just want to quickly mention that I did go to the Browns' last preseason game. It was extremely hot. I have never had so much sweat coming off of me in one day. It was disgusting. It was not football weather. I was not okay with it, but it was fun to be there, just be in that environment. People were excited. At one point, I was literally four rows back from the Browns sideline, and a lot of people were trying to yell out and get players to react and give a little wave. OBJ gave a wave at one point. Baker did as well, because obviously those guys were not playing, but it was exciting and fun to be that close to them down there. But man, it was a hot day. We cannot have that for football games. It was way too much. Okay. Browns preseason thoughts so far. So I don't know if I mentioned at all how much of the preseason I was able to cover last episode, but I think two guys that have really excited me, and I think this one I definitely mentioned, was Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's just looked really, really solid and has continued to show up in the preseason. And I continue to be excited about what his future could be on the Browns. And then also Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, still very excited about what he's going to be able to do. Obviously, next week, I think it's Monday at 4 p.m., we have to get down to our 53-man roster, which is scary because usually I don't think we think as much about this, but we have so much talent this year. It's really hard to know how to get down to that 53 and figure out who to take in some positions. It'll be interesting to see where we land with some receivers, a lot on the defensive side of the ball. I know at one point Kevin Stefanski threw around maybe trying to keep three quarterbacks on the roster, which I don't think they'll end up doing, but I know it was mentioned at one point. it was unfortunate to see Jacob Phillips out for the year, especially since we've had some questions around the linebacker role and how we're going to fill that in this year. You've had Mac still have some injury issues here and there, small things, but it's always a concern of how healthy we're going to be there. And I mean, the Jacob Phillips one hurt because you just hate to see a guy go down like that and be out for the year. I mean, for the Jaguars, Travis Etienne, rookie, he's out for the season for the Jags, and it sucks to see anyone go down like that before they even get to play in an NFL regular season game, in his case being a rookie, or just any guy who has to miss a whole year of the thing they've worked their whole life to do. I just can't even imagine the mental toll that takes on them to have to like sit with themselves every day and think about that and just feel how hard that must be, and then you go and you watch your team out there playing and you're not there. I thought about that a lot with OBJ this last year because he's such a competitor, and it had to be really hard for him to see the Browns succeeding and him not be able to be out there. I'm sure that took a huge toll on him mentally. So the empathetic person in me is always thinking of probably how these guys are feeling in those moments. Obviously, it sucks for us as fans because we want to have the best people out there on the field. But it sucks for them a lot too because it's their career, it's their livelihood, and it gets ripped out of their hands in a second. And that's got to be something hard to work with. Also, in getting down to our 53-man roster, we have seen Chase McLaughlin is, as of right now, going to be our kicker. Cody Parkey had some type of injury and subsequent release. I'm not quite sure what exactly happened there, but here's the thing with Cody. I was never super anti-Cody. I think a lot of people do not like Cody Parkey because he has, throughout his professional career, missed in some really, really big moments. And I think when you miss in big moments, you just get another level of added pressure, which is not helpful as a kicker. Even if there are other kickers in the league whose overall numbers and, you know, make and miss percentages are worse than yours, you still have that other layer of pressure because of those moments you missed in. So he obviously had his double doink back in the day. And then on the Browns now, he had two really major misses, I believe. I think there were two of them. As I've talked about this multiple times in the Baltimore Monday night game, that was a close game, very high scoring. People don't forget those things when you miss in moments like that, even though he was extremely consistent and made, I think, everything in the playoffs. Obviously, it matters then, but people are always going to remember the big moments that you did not do as well in. So I was never anti-Cody, but I understand at the same time, maybe we needed to go in another direction because there was a lot of attention on what was going to happen with our kicker, and I don't think that's where you want the attention to be. It's a lot of pressure and too much chatter around that. So hoping that Chase is great, hoping for the best with him. I mean, we will see what happens. Okay, so going into week one, some of the games I am most looking forward to as we get a couple steps closer. Obviously, I am looking forward to Browns versus Chiefs. I think this is going to be such a big moment, and I think the Chiefs might have, you know, some weak spots. Offensive line hasn't really had the chance to play together as much. Patrick Mahomes has been playing a lot in the preseason games because he needs to be out there with an offensive line that hasn't had the chance to be together as much. And just new things. You have to have your starting quarterback out there. So that's been interesting to see, and it'll be interesting to see how they come out week one. I know the Browns are going to be hungry and they're going to be ready. You had John Johnson, who wasn't even on the Browns last year, talking about how he, you know, went to watch that game when he ended up getting, you know, signing with the Browns. And he can feel how the guys in the locker room feel about that game and the revenge that they want because of it. And it's not this cocky revenge or this even angry revenge. It's just this quiet confidence of like, we could have won that game. Like, we were right there. We were so close to being able to win that game, and we want to prove that we are with the best of the best in this league. So it's this quiet confidence that we have right now of wanting to show what we can do and what we've built. And I think that's an important matchup for us. So I'm looking forward to that. Also looking forward to Steelers versus Bills. I'm interested to see how the Steelers' offense especially has been able to come together in this offseason. We know they have a really good defense, but I'm curious to see what they're able to do offensively, how Big Ben looks out there, if he has any more mobility than he did last year. All reports are saying that he does look a little bit better and a little bit more mobile, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. But looking forward to that game. Looking forward to see how the Bills look. I mean, I want to see these top teams in our in the AFC, because that's going to be important for us as we move down the line. Packers Saints should be interesting. I'd like to see Aaron Rodgers out there and see how he's looking, and just. That story has been so fascinating for the last couple of months that I think everyone is interested to see him out there again. And I also think Seahawks and Colts could be an interesting game as well. So we are so back. Like I said, football is back. It is happening. We are ready to go full swing. I think that's all I have for you guys today. Next episode, I don't know if it'll be before or after week one, but there will be lots to talk about. I'm hoping as we get into the games happening and the actual season, my goal is to start doing weekly episodes again, because there will be so much to cover after each weekend between college football and the NFL, that I'm hoping on either Mondays or Tuesdays I can record each week, and get some weekly episodes out there. Maybe potentially trying to do some guests again, because I know I've been doing solo for a long time and haven't thrown in a guest in a long time. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Excited for the year ahead. Excited to be in downtown Cleveland during this season. It was an awesome feeling to just be able to walk over to First Energy for the preseason game the other day. It made me so happy. I'm excited to be here in this awesome city, even though nobody ever talks about it being awesome. It's a great city, great people, the best fans in the world. I'm ready for it. Like I said, that's all I have for you guys today. I will catch you on the next one.